This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. Coming up on TMS, Blood Moon.
Harrington on set.
Pope 24/7.
Hep T.
Vampires win.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
As our story begins, we ask you to come with us on a far journey. A journey that takes us millions of miles from the Earth, where the planet Krypton burns like a green star in the endless heavens. Here, civilization is far advanced. It has brought forth a race of supermen, men and women like ourselves, but advanced to the absolute peak of human perfection.
Sabote.
Good morning, stream.
Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Monday, the 28th of September, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson, recently home from being home, and Brian, who is recently home from being in Vegas again.
Are you home from being home? Is your weekend at home over now?
I spent the entire weekend. Turns out Saturdays are more of a work day than they've ever been now. I used to have that day off. You know, it used to be a day I could like chill, but
no, not with the whole NVIDIA thing going on.
No, that's a big 3-hour chunk of the day. Plus, we recorded the brand new Core show, which happened that day also, which went really well. Thank you everybody for downloading and listening. If you haven't yet, go to frogpants.com/core. And check out get all your Heroes of the Storm business right there in that hour and a half or so that we recorded. It was really fun and that was great. But that took a chunk of time on the day, of course. And then there were a bunch of family things that had to be taken care of and dealt with. And Saturday just doesn't exist as an open day for me anymore. It's no longer a thing. It's my own doing. You know, it's not like someone forced this upon me. I don't have some jackass boss.
You made some commitments.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm in. I'm all in. Like Flynn, it turns out. Brian went to Vegas, though.
And, I did.
How'd it go? You went with your lovely wife, Tina, and you guys hung out and had a nice little time. This wasn't tied to any kind of work or trivia or anything, right?
No, nothing. Like, the only thing that we... I mean, the only plans we had were reservations for restaurants and for shows. We got in and actually dropped everything off at the hotel and immediately made our way down to Cosmopolitan. As you know, my favorite place to hang out. It would be my favorite place to stay if it was cheaper.
Yeah.
But number one, it's not part of the M Life group, which is the casino group that I actually have some pull with, that I have, you know, that I spend money for rooms and gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So I get offers from M Life, which is not Cosmopolitan,
right?
Unfortunately.
Right.
But it's such a fun place to hang out. So we went there, had some verbenas, and met up with Mitzula, who works in Vegas, of course, lives and works in Vegas, and Daniel and Deidre Pitts from Atlanta.
Oh,
you might remember them as Daniel is the guy who keeps meticulous records of questions that he has about the show.
Yeah, but he went suddenly quiet after a while, and I am very curious about that. So I'm dying to know why. Did he spill the beans?
Yes, I do know why.
Okay.
His attention now lies elsewhere in the podcasting world.
Okay.
He, as some people do, you know, you find a show, you get hooked on it, then you see something else and then you get hooked on that. And maybe shows that you, started with, you don't listen to as much anymore. And so that is the case with TMS, unfortunately.
Well, here's what I think. I think if you're going to spend the entire time listening to TMS meticulously taking notes about what they're saying and then asking them about that, your burnout rate is much faster than the average listener.
Yeah, I think that it'll, right. I think that's exactly the case.
What happened? What were they doing in Vegas? Just chilling out? Just chilling out.
They'd actually never been there before. Mm. So, when I saw them at Dragon Con, they said, oh, hey, we could use your advice. We're going to be in Las Vegas at the end of September. And part of me is thinking, oh, do I tell them that I'm going to be there at the exact same time? Or do I just keep it as a Tina and me trip and not do any meeting up with anybody? Yeah. But you know, we decided, oh, yeah, well, let's at least have a drink with them. So we actually met up at Chino Poblano, also at the Cosmo.
Yeah.
And had some appetizers there before Tina and I rushed off to see Absinthe, which is fantastic. So it gets rave reviews, right? It's this
Is it just people on stage with like cirrhosis of the liver and horrible
drinking constantly? Yeah. Yeah. Right, drinking the green devil or a green fairy. No, you think that would be it, but no, it's not. It's here's what it is. It's Cirque du Soleil in a much smaller tent, in a much smaller space, with none of that Cirque du Soleil in unintelligible clown barf. You know, the like the stuff that just serves to remind you how much different the French sense of humor is than ours.
Right.
Like, oh, and that sort of thing. Yeah. None of that in Absinthe.
Clown barf. Like, that's an amazing way to put it.
Just get right to the show, the acrobatics. Mm. And this is also not a show that you'd want to take your parents or maybe not necessarily even your children. Well, you definitely not your children, but like your 21 and over year old children. I think that there'd be some awkwardness because
some
it is
squirm moments. Yeah.
It's raunchy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of skin on display in this show, men, male and female skin.
Yeah.
However, there are pasties and there's, you know, G strings and stuff like that. So there's no
dude wiener.
There's no dude wiener. Okay. Although, you know, the guys are all wearing like spandex tight pants. So
sure.
You can tell who's
plenty of dude wieners.
You
what you're
can
saying.
Tell who's cut or not. Let's just leave it at that. but the acrobatics, the things that they do are absolutely amazing. Mm. And
this is all set in the 20s or something, like just the context of the tone of the thing. It's like some kind of like speakeasy kind of time or
it's
what?
It's got a feel of that. Like it's got a feel of old Europe and kind of a carnival, but there's nothing that is, you know, it's not trying to be, you know, picture yourself traveling back through time. I mean, it is far and away something that takes place now, but the influence on it is certainly old Europe.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and you like
it. There's not a bad seat in the house, mm-hmm. unless you don't want to get called on, don't want to get embarrassed, shamed, called up to the stage to do something unusual.
Oh,
so
do
not sit
seat.
In the front if you're not the type who wants to be part of the show.
Yeah, I would. That sounds like good advice to me. And you guys were nowhere near that, right? Or were you right up front?
We were the fourth row. Ooh. So yeah, we were close up, but not close enough to get called on. Gosh, and I was lucky. There were like three other bald guys in front of me in the first row. So I always worry that, like, you know, this dome of mine is kind of like a beacon in the night.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there were three other guys who got pulled in. And sure enough, one of them got picked on because of his big bald head.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. You guys are like you're like a lighthouse on the eastern seaboard during a foggy day. You just, that's how the ships find their way home safely. You're going to see that head and go, yep, he's going to come up. I've done this one time where I ever got pulled up out of an audience. It was for that magic show in Vegas, incidentally.
Matt King show, right?
Yeah, and that was really fun and cool. But I decided, since that was the only other time I think that's ever happened to me, I don't like it. So I don't want that. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
So my goal from now on is to go, if when I go to a show of some sort, I will do as you're suggesting, which is avoid the easily accessible front couple rows,
right,
and sit back a little bit. That's
all
the way
you can
to go.
Do. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like sounds like a fun time. I'm glad you guys got away. It's nice to do that with your wife occasionally.
It was really nice. Went to Giada, which is a restaurant owned by Giada De Laurentiis, who's the she's daughter of Dino De Laurentiis.
Dino, right? Yeah, and she used to be a big deal on Food Network until Guy Fieri came and ruined it for everyone.
I think she still has the Food Network business stuff going on.
She does, but no one notices because he is on everything all day, all 24 hours a day. So, like, they used to have all these shows, like, and now so-and-so with their time with the egg and the chicken and the thing. And they do it all day long, and then suddenly he backs his big truck up. Beep, beep, beep. I'm coming in. I'm going to eat all the diners, dashes, and dirt.
This burger is 11 feet tall. I'm going to eat it in one bite and slurp it all over my chin. Whoops, almost got some on my sunglasses, which are inexplicably around my neck inside a building.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Blah, blah, give me some more. Blah, blah, blah.
Right? That's Food Network now. It really is. Like, but when I see Food Network, all I see is him doing stuff and repeats of his shows. That's all I ever see anymore. And occasionally, once in a while, it'll be like, oh, bunch of junior chefs have to have a competition in a kitchen. And this is a whole bunch of hosts I've never seen before. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Let's watch this. And then halfway through, we got a special midway show guest judge coming on.
Who could it possibly be?
Hey, I'm Guy Fieri, and I smell like a chicken wing. Woo!
How does he find the time to get away from his grocery store race game thing?
Exactly. Which is a lot like these other shows. Like, they just keep shoving him. I understand that he's bankable, right? Obviously, he must be. They know what their ratings are.
Right.
They're just doing what they're going to do. It's like TLC. They used to be the learning channel. Now they're the, what do you get when you put a transgender midget frog lover in with a horse and 25 chickens? That's the show coming up next. Like, they're not interested in learning anything or teaching anything or anything. So, but at the same time, I can't poo-poo some of these cable networks for latching onto what's working. And if Guy Fieri's working...
Well, and you know, I've said it before for new people. I've been to Flavortown.
Yeah.
Ugh, that name. Flavortown. Well, you know what? Okay. I guess I can't complain about something called Flavortown when I have a show called Coverville.
Yeah, right? I guess so.
I guess I'm kind of
I never thought of it that way, but
glass houses and all that stuff.
But, sure.
The food there was fantastic.
Yeah.
I had some of the best buffalo wings of my life at Flavortown at the Link. So I highly recommend going out to Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Tried to go there during the Christmas trip we took last year, and it was closed, and we never could figure out why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we couldn't get in there. So I assumed it's because everybody had...
Someone found a frosted hair in their gumbo.
Yeah, like flaming hot diarrhea at night at, at Guy Fieri's place. Anyway, did you see the Blood Moon last night? Was that a part of your day?
That was so cool, yeah.
Last time that happened at that degree was 1984.
Right.
It's only happened three times total in recorded human history. I'm sure before that. But so that means that this last time we saw it, there was you know, it was an interesting thing. I remember being young and going, oh, wow, yeah, look at that thing. That's cool. And that was the same year like Temple of Doom came out.
That's crazy. Although, when you think about it that far, I mean, it's like, oh my God, that feels so far away now.
Yeah, it seems really far. 84, big year for movies. But I keep going back to the movie thing. And of course, it was an opportunity last night with we were hanging out with some friends out on their lawn because they have a great view of where the moon would be. Mm-hmm. And we're eating and chilling and having fun. And I somebody says, oh man, I can't believe the last time we saw this was 84. And we even had a little telescope set up so that we could get a nice tight shot.
Uh-huh.
And I go... Yeah, 84. That's last time this happened. We just got Temple of Doom. And then I said, well, unless you're my wife who grew up in Mississippi, they just got it last weekend. So I had a great time pulling dad jokes about how backwards Mississippi is. But anyway, it was really cool to see that and hang out with the kids and have them. Carter was beyond. She's over the moon anytime some space thing happens. Because the way she looks at it, she goes, Dad, the next time this happens, you'll be like 80 something.
Oh, no, it's going to be 18 years is the next one.
Oh, she said it was, she had a date and everything. She must have bad info.
The last one was 33 years ago or whatever, and the next one's going to be 18 years.
Okay. Well, it's not so bad.
Isn't it amazing that astronomers can calculate that and, like, say, so projections going forward and, you know, taking in orbit and rotation and revolution and all that stuff.
Yep.
And, Unless a giant meteor hits the moon and we don't know about it and breaks it up like it did in that Time Machine movie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I guess it wasn't a meteor. It was...
What was that? I don't remember.
It was developments or something. Like they were trying to colonize the moon. They broke it or something.
It was one of those space whale candy bars that was flying.
Right, that's what it was. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I know what's up. So anyway, that was really fun. And we had a really good time doing that. And what was my point? I was going to tell you something else about this. It was about the predictability of it. So you're right. It is amazing that they can say, oh, on this year, on this night of that year, you will see the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night they said 8:36 our time, local time, was going to be when it would be at its full whatever. And they bumped the time up to 8:11 in the evening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they apparently, while they can do it to the day and rough outline, they can't do it to the moment. Hour. Yeah, they can't do it to the hour. That thing got bumped up early, so we had to hustle our ass over there because we had a dinner thing, and then we had to run over to that thing where we had dessert and hung out with these people, and then had to rush home and prep a show. And yeah, this weekend, dude. This weekend was full of stuff. Anyway, looking forward to The Martian. That's as much as I know. That's next week, right? Martian. Is that
Martian,
next week?
And I'm about halfway through the book. Picked up the book and was reading it at the pool Saturday.
Oh, good.
Pool was great. It was that was what I needed, man. That
favorite
recharged
part.
My freaking batteries.
Yeah, yeah. And how was the book so far? Are you enjoying it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, of course you are, because it's great.
Yeah. And it's hard not to, you know, when you've seen the previews and the front of the book cover, the paperback, has freaking Matt Damon's face on it.
Yeah.
It's hard not to picture Mark Watney as Matt Damon when you hear him talking in the book and reading his logs.
His logs, yeah. Oh, yeah, his logs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the release date, and it's not... Why is it not showing up?
It's the 2nd, October 2nd.
Okay, so it is this coming weekend.
It's this coming weekend, yeah.
Very excited. Can't wait to see it. I love that freaking book.
Yeah.
All right. Ex-Blizzard guy does good. Way to go, man. Freaking
and weird.
You make your Warcraft 2, and then you disappear for a long time, and then you make a book, and now you're a freaking billionaire. Good job. let's see here. Let's get to some Daryl business.
Yes.
We've missed him horribly. I didn't get my drinks today. I'm ticked. You guys got drinks. I didn't get anything.
Well, you know, we've got them in the fridge. They're cool and they're ready for you.
All right.
Bet yours arrives today.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, I believe in you and I trust in you. Here's this. Where is it? Here it is. Join us now, won't you? Pull up a chair and listen to Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Hey, Denver Tadpoolers. Just get back from all those fun summer cons, but still didn't get the pictures you wanted in your great cosplay? Visit jasonmaloney.com and check out my custom portraiture section. With my years of experience in photography and Photoshop, we can create a fun custom portrait to capture your hard costume work. Plus, check out the rest of my site for the rest of your family portraiture needs. That's jason-maloney.com. That's M-A-L-O-N-E-Y. Don't forget the dash in the middle. JasonMaloney.com.
Nice. Daryl's not picking up. Let's try him again.
Mm. Yeah, when NASA's supposed to announce something Mars-related?
Oh, are they? Oh, right. There's some talk that big funding's coming their way to do more Mars exploration.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Something like that. That'd be good. I think we do. I think Mars is our best chance for something weird, you know?
You mean to find something?
Well, just to find something, but not only that, but get dudes over there.
Yes.
Like, what other planet? We can't go to Jupiter. That thing will just fart on us and we'll die.
Well, yeah, it's...
What else is, you know...
Venus is a little bit too hot.
Yep.
And everything else is going to be too cold. So
too cold.
Venus is going to be our closest temperature-wise.
Yeah. And plus, Mars has, you know, weird shit. Like, like stuff just...
If movies are to be believed... Indeed, Mars has weird shit.
It really does. Daryl, speaking of weird shit, what are you doing? What's going on? Hello?
Oh?
He's there.
I don't know. What is going on?
Oh, hi.
Oh, there we go.
Here.
Yeah, you're here. How's it going, man? What's up today on a Monday? You doing anything fun there at work?
Oh, not yet.
Yeah? Just this? All right.
Yeah, that's it so far.
Are you 72?
And I feel great.
I'm over 72.
There you go. So... Daryl is the Trek nerd. He comes on the show. We answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. We hang out a little bit. By way of announcement, my first appearance, I'm on more of it, but my first vocal appearance on the Red Shirt Diaries is today.
Oh, cool. That episode just got released.
Came out today, yep. And I think you guys will, you need to see it. You need to check it out and then just ponder on my fantastic performance.
That's at theredshirtdiaries.com.
That's the place. I'll play a piece of it after a bunch of people have seen it.
There you go.
Anyway, Daryl, it's good to have you on. Let's talk about Star Trek. I want to know what. You know what I didn't do?
We have a Iceworm mashup today.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I didn't pull it over. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me just. This will take me half a second. Why didn't that copy over? All right, here it is. It is a Iceworm.
It's a warm mashup.
You know what? I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Does anyone have a link?
What?
I don't. I saved the page, and now the stuff's lost. Iceworm, if you're listening, send us that link, and I'll play it. We'll play it whenever. We'll get to it. All right, Daryl, let's play your clippy clip here. This is a clip, and you're going to have to tell us what episode this comes from, all right? So here you go. I'm going to play it right now.
Mr. LaForge, report.
Well, we finished replicating the parts they'll need. But what I don't understand is why a three-man station would need a reactor capable of producing 4.2 gigawatts.
4.2 gigawatts!
Gigawatts!
Marty!
The tree unplugged my cord.
By the way, that tree part of that movie where it unplugs the cord and he has to figure out a way to plug it all back in.
Yeah.
If that didn't at least inspire Stephen King in 11/22/63, then I'm
really
going to eat my hat.
There's something in there that's like that.
Yeah, and if Ralph, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to give anything away because that book is fantastic, and this feature of the book or this quality to it is something I don't want to reveal because it's really pretty. It's maybe my favorite new time travel idea.
Wow.
But it's so similar to him trying to that kind of last minute, oh crap, all this work and this may not pay off because this cord got unplugged. Like, there's something there. Anyway, I don't want to give too much away.
David Croft is saying that he's got a mashup instead, and he put a link to it in the...
Oh, yeah, let's play his.
Is it a TMS mashup, or is it maybe a... Either.
I think it's, I don't know. Oh, it's 3 minutes long. We're not playing that one. Yeah, mashups need to be like 30 seconds, everybody. That one's too long.
Oh, there we go. He actually just put up a link to a shorter one. Oh, it's right. Almost like he heard you 8 seconds in the future.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. So this one. Oh, here we go. This is short. Okay, you ready?
I check it all the time, and I go, is it bigger?
And easily the longest.
I asked my doctor, would you please take a look at this? It's just like, it feels like it's got a little bigger the last few years. And she checked it out, and she's like, you know, you're really lucky.
Whitaker's way bigger than you think he is. And never so long.
After I take a shot.
I'm going to take a shot. And like, he does the thing, you know, opens up the little thing a little bigger or whatever. Like, you're like, whoa, did he really just do that in water with a cartoon and was not digitally inserted later? Eye popping. You know, he got huge and everything went to his head. Don't make out with Minnie Driver. She's got a mouthful of poo. Bullshit. What? That was a film
That's
sack.
A film sack. Yeah. Stop. Oh, shorty. It's your birthday.
That thing rolls right into the next track on SoundCloud there. So anyway. All right. Well, we'll take that. That's fine.
Sure.
We'll take it.
Oh, there is. And now somebody did post Ice Worms mashup if you want that one too.
All right. Let's do it. Might not just be all mad. Holy shite. I think that Justin Robert Young might be like an astronaut because he flies a lot.
There's one team that constantly uses the name, my couch pulls out, but I don't. And it's.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Booga booga, connect the dots, Mika Bear.
I was in the zone and I'm just rubbing up a dude, a little man to say how well I did. Like a little. Like a little. I'm rubbing a little icon of a man. And he fills up his, depending on how vigorous I'm running, right?
I swore.
Ah, gosh dang it. Nice. It's over now. That was the end of it. Yeah. See, just in case you weren't sure if we were still talking or in
safe
it.
Safe word. Except, again, you know, I swear you just put that safe word in.
See, it's not done.
Yeah, put that in there. Still not done.
Okay, now, so, Daryl, your question is this. All right. He's still doing it. All right. Now it's done. It's actually done now.
Okay. How do I know? How do I know this is the real Scott?
You don't.
Oh, it might not be.
It may not be. That may not be the real Daryl. I mean, for all you know, that's some other guy. He may be just going like this.
What?
That, a lot. That,
what?
That totally could be him.
What?
All right, Daryl, your choices for that clip, by the way, were The Masterpiece Society, Clues, C, Realms of War, or D, Who Watches the Watchers? So that's Masterpiece Society.
Boop, boop, boop. Masterpiece Society.
Remember that show? I used to like that. Anyway, Masterpiece Society, Clues, Realms of War, or Realm of War, but the hot new free-to-play iOS title coming to you now.
Yeah.
Or Who Watches the Watchers as D. Those are your options. Think about those real hard while you do this.
Ah!
Whoops, wrong one.
Hey.
Tell us today in Star Trek history.
Oh, it's a good one. It's the birth of TNG on this day in 1987.
Oh, wow.
Encounter at Farpoint aired.
Ah, Encounter at Farpoint, we'll say that you said. You cracked up there for a second.
We'll pretend that Skype said that. Yes.
Yeah, that's completely being fine.
What?
Wow. So,
what?
28 years ago, right?
28.
Yeah.
Think of that. Well, think of that. Picard was already in his 40s. Late 40s. Wait, how old was Picard when they started? Hold on, I'm looking it up.
I was going to say, Daryl should know this.
I just want to say, I just think Picard, Andy Weir, and a bunch of other people are good indicators that sometimes you don't necessarily hit your big moment until you're older than you think you're supposed to be.
So you're saying there's still hope for me.
There's still hope for me and you and Daryl even.
even
Daryl. I was reading the other day of like famous authors who had their big success like after the age of 50, and there are a lot more than you think. Huh. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Everybody thinks they want to make their first million by the time they're 30 or something, but it doesn't always work that way.
But he'd like to, I'm sure.
Well, everyone liked to, but sometimes it comes late. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Oh, yeah. Daryl, that's great. Happy birthday to that. That was a terrible episode, really. But
Encounter Farpoint?
I mean, it's the first season problem. Everything in the first season just seems cheesy and terrible now.
Right. Data whistling.
Yeah.
Riker without a beard.
Yeah. Tight little suits on everybody.
Q's goofy outfits.
Yeah. They all were wearing the one piece then. A little one piece jumpsuit. It was ugly.
Yeah.
Deanna all Troy was in a little skirt and everything. They were trying to recreate the 60s era Star Trek, and they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And then I'm glad they settled into where they ended up, but man, that first stuff, oof, rough.
Yeah, rough.
Anyway, but why not? It's a 7-year sandwich with a bad piece of bread on one end and a bad piece of bread on the other end.
The delicious pimento stuffed olive jammed in the very top.
Oh, that's true. That was really good. I guess it'd be in the end, though, right? It'd be on the bottom.
It'd be on the bottom, but we'll say that they build the sandwich from the bottom up.
Well, it's Star Trek. It's space. They can do whatever they want.
No gravity.
Yeah, there's no rules. Daryl?
I don't think the first layer of bread was so bad. It was infused with cheese.
Yeah, it's weird bread. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's like you found an old piece of pumpernickel in the back of a loaf somewhere, and you put it on top of your otherwise fine sandwich. And, you know, pumpernickel works for some people. It's fine.
Sure. Some people want the pumpernickel.
Daryl, let's get back to your question here. This was this Next Generation thing here, this deal. I played the clip, but it was so long ago, you probably don't remember it. Do you need a refresher?
Yeah, you better play it again.
Here it is again.
Mr. LaForge, report.
Well, we finished replicating the parts they'll need. But what I don't understand is why a 3-man station would need a reactor capable of producing 4.2 gigawatts.
Oh, yeah, the gigawatts.
There's a lot of clues in that one.
There are many clues in there. The Masterpiece Society clues, Realm of Fear, or Who Watches the Watchers?
Go set a watchman.
Go set an Apple Watch on my arm.
Did you get your Duke, by the way?
No. I have a story about that, I'll tell you. Okay. I'll tell you now. Here's what happened while Daryl thinks. While Daryl thinks.
Think, Daryl. Don't waste this opportunity to think.
So I went in for Kim. I went. That's funny. As if. Kim was going to go downtown anyway to take Carter to school and do breakfast with her. So it worked out to be a good excuse to have her go to the downtown Apple store and wait in line. And they have this really cool thing now where if you go and you just show up, they don't have you wait in line. They give you a reservation and tell you what time to come back. Mm-hmm. So they're like, yep, here you go. We'll reserve you what you need. And you come back at noon and pick it up. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And you can go do whatever you want. So she was pretty excited about that until she's told her what phone she needed. And we were going to surprise Nick with a new phone because we didn't make him a specific deal, but Kim and I had made a deal like, look, if he gets his grades way up in this first year in high school and he's doing all the stuff he's supposed to be doing and he's getting up early and he's, you know, coming home when he says he would and all these things, then I want to do an installment plan phone for him. Mm-hmm. Because
nice.
His contract's up and his old phone sucks and, you know, this would be a good time to do it. So she said, so we agreed, all right, we'll get Nick a 6S and then I want the Duke and then Kim's not going to worry about this upgrade. She's not, she's fine till next year. Plus her contract's not up. So technically it would be, but I stole her contract last time. So now it's a long story. But anyway, so we go in there to get it and they have plenty of 6S's, but nobody in town, all three Apple stores, and any other place that carries them, AT&T stores, everybody else, completely devoid of pluses, anything bigger than 16 gig. They all had plenty of 16 gigs, though, I noticed.
Yeah, nobody wants that. I mean, who?
It's an insult that even exists.
Four apps and a photo.
Yeah, it's an insult that it exists. It's stupid.
Right.
But anyway, the 64s and the 128s are all gone everywhere, and I want a 128. I would have maybe settled for 64 if they'd have had it, but they didn't even have that. So they're like, oh, yeah, you got to just check all the time. You should have reserved one online. I'm like, I tried. It wouldn't work the night I tried. And then, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the answer to your question is no, I don't. I don't have the Duke.
Aww.
And it frustrates me that the only person in the house with more cutting-edge phone technology than me is my son.
Right.
It bugs me. It's not supposed to be that way. Yeah. But I did mess around with this Force Touch thing. Or what's it called? 3D Touch, they're calling it on the
3D
phone?
3D Touch, yeah.
That's actually pretty neato, dude.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
I think I'm on that AT&T plan where I could automatically get the upgrade.
You should do it. You should go in there and just swap it out and get it.
Because it doesn't cost me anything to do that, right?
No, it doesn't cost you a thing. It just resets you to another commitment. But the commitment's a weird commitment because it's really just like you're just basically leasing the phone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At that point. Or if you do the full 2 years, then you own it. But yeah, right. It's actually not too bad of a plan. The Apple one's pretty good too because you get Apple Care with it. But yeah, there's
no point in me doing it now until they start getting some stock in. Right?
Yeah, there's nothing. Pluses just flew out the door. So anyway, no fatty for me quite yet, but I'm sure it's coming. All right, Daryl, you've had plenty of time to think.
Okay.
Let your thoughts spill out like clown barf.
Now I've forgotten the whole thing, and now we have to do it all again. No, not really.
Thank goodness.
But I will tell you, don't see The Visit.
Oh.
It's that M. Night Shyamalan ding-dong guy. Why the heck does he... Who allows him to make movies?
Listen, he made 3 really good movies in a row, and then he lost it. There's a book in there, or a TED Talk, or something. We got to find out what happened to that poor guy.
Yeah, but isn't The Visit getting...
Visit is getting better than average reviews, like 64%.
Yeah. So we're maybe seeing, hopefully, the second coming of M. Night Shyamalan.
My son saw it and loved it. Nick saw it and loved it with his friends.
Oh,
but
really?
Then he's 15,
oh,
dude.
Maybe, yeah.
He's 15.
Yeah, 61%. So it's not, it's not, you know.
The audience was in stitches, but I don't think they were supposed to be.
Oh, they were
laughing.
Oh,
no, really?
They were laughing because it was so dumb.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Actually, critics' consensus is The Visit provides horror fans with a satisfying blend of thrills and laughs and also signals a welcome return to form for writer-director M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm.
Oh, so that's his form.
Dong. Yeah, that guy. Look, you can't... I understand. You make The Sixth Sense groundbreaking. You make Unbreakable, one of my favorite movies ever. You make this, make Signs, pretty interesting take on alien invasion. And then everything else goes to shite. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there's a book there or something. Something's there to tell us. And I don't know what it is yet. He's going to get up like Sting and do a TED Talk about how he quit making albums for 20 years and then figured out how to get his mojo back. Something's going to happen.
Right.
Anyway, that actually happened, by the way. Sting did that. Got up and said... what's his real name? What's his name?
Who's real name?
Sting.
Oh, Gordon Sumner.
Gordon Sumner got up on the TED stage and talked about how he was just like one hit after another, and then he had creative block for like 15 years.
Yeah, then he discovered tantric sex, and everything all came back.
Everything turned around. I still don't know what that is. When you say what is it?
Tantric.
Tantric sounds like a thing you'd describe a kid spazzing out of the store or something who's all upset. Yeah.
He's having a tantric.
I want a sucker.
Sometimes those do go on for 3 hours. Yeah.
The tantric spaz out thing. Daryl, sorry. What are you doing? Say it.
Okay. Back to this. I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
Okay.
Because this clip mentions a reactor and... parts are needed, and those are all the clues I need to know that it's Who Watches the Watchers, which is one of my favorite ones.
Oh, you think that's it, do you?
This is the underrated episode of the day.
Okay. Well, let's find out if you're right. Is that correct?
Congratulations.
That is correct.
You're a winner.
First day of 4, he's got it right. He doesn't know he doesn't know why they would need so much power until he realizes that it's for a holographic generator to cover the observation station from the planet's natives, or I guess to hide them from the natives. Yeah, that was the one where the natives were like cavemen, right? And they had to, or they were severely underdeveloped.
Another caveman one? How many caveman episodes did they have?
But no, they were like super underdeveloped civilization, and the prime directive was like pretty clear there. You couldn't let them see your half holograph.
Like,
They were like, prehistoric Vulcans or something.
Speaking of the village, right?
Yeah, totally the village, dude. I hate it. Whatever. M. Night. His worst movie is by far The Happening. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think that's the
Devil
worst.
Devil I kind of enjoyed, honestly.
Which one?
Was the one in the elevator.
Oh, I never saw that.
One in the elevator.
One's going up when the other went down, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Daryl, you're the Trek Nerd. You're found on Twitter at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now Daryl will play a game with us titled what?
Oh, what is it? Oh, leftovers. Let's go dig in the fridge here.
Okay.
Come on, the door's not opening. There we go. Okay, what do
safety.
We have? Borg?
A child safety lock on it.
Borg or bees?
Borg or bees?
Borg or bees?
Here's Jeb Bush theme song. Okay, go ahead.
Whoa. Retinue.
So this would have been a Borg. If it was a Borg, it would have been somebody, formerly an alien named Retinue, who was converted to Borgism.
Now, part of the collection, assimilation.
Yeah.
It sounds more medical to me, or more, scientific.
Yeah.
Retinue. You know, it almost sounds like it could be something that they put in certs.
Yeah, retinue. Certs with retinue.
Yeah.
That sounds right. I feel like that's scientific sounding.
Should we say bees?
Yeah. We say
bees.
Yeah, we'll say bees, millions of bees.
Okay. Well, if you are the person attending the queen, well, you wouldn't be a person, you'd be a bee.
Yay! So
that's what it is.
All right.
Really? Oh, really? So like they have drones, queens, and retinue?
Yep.
Retinue. Huh. What are the retinue? What's their job?
They take care of the queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they just groom her, or what the hell are they doing?
See to her every need.
Oh, say exactly. No more. Say no more. Is she the one that, that's how, that's gross. All right, anyway, bees. There's some bees fun for you. What now? Oh, this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Join us now for the news brought to you by.
Hey, Tadpool, when you're finished listening to TMS, are you worried about where or not you should switch jobs, or maybe whether or not you should switch jobs? Stressed about money? Worried about a loved one's health? If you should have another baby? Or if he or she is the right one for you? If you're in the Denver area, then contact Amanda. Wow, everything's Denver today. Contact Amanda, your local spiritual advisor and personal cartomancer, to peek into your future. Don't believe in that kind of stuff? I can provide references from many clients happy with my years of service. Personal advising, parties, and even online consultations also may be available for those not in the Denver metro area. Visit queenofheart.com. That's Q-U-E-A-N of hearts.com for more information. Is it Queen of Hearts with an S or heart?
I think it's heart, I believe. I think that's correct.
I'm going to find out.
Yeah, click that. See what you get there.
Oops. There we go. Let's make sure that we
Queen of Hearts.
Steer people the right way. Yeah, it is not. So it must be with an S. Queen of Hearts, and Queen is spelled Q-U-E-A-N.
Yeah, just typo. Typo. And
there she is, right there.
Kit Harington was spotted on the set of Game of Thrones. so this pretty much confirms what everyone already thought. If there was any doubt left that Kit Harington is returning as Jon Snow, then you're either, at the very least, he is appearing in somebody's dreams, all right?
Flashback.
Yeah, either he's a flashback or he's some kind of ghost or who knows. What all, but he's in his Jon Snow full outfit and hanging out with crew members and
You know nothing about what happened at the end of the last season.
Yeah, you don't. We're not spoiling anything here, of course. That is, by the way, the most winningest show at the Emmys. That won more
things. Did really well.
All time record, I think.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think for all Emmys.
Yeah, all
ever.
Of Kittredge did really well too, and made me kind of curious to see it.
Yeah, I want to see that. I hadn't even heard of it until this.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's that. Pope Francis, he's been all over. So my brother-in-law, Steve, who's listens to the show. So, Steve, hey.
Hi, Steve.
Steve went, he travels a lot. The company he works for is this kind of metal arts kind of company where they go and they do these restorative work on like really old wrought iron and and like statues and you know, like the White House will contract them to come and fix a bunch of stuff on the eaves up on top.
Oh, right.
Of
yeah.
Or like the stat, what's the statue on the dome in, of the Capitol?
The Capitol?
Yeah.
I don't know what that statue is, but he had that. That was here in Salt Lake City, right? For a while he was working on it.
Yeah. They did stuff like here and then they transfer stuff back and forth and they do full on like castings here where they'll make giant bronze castings of things. And anyway, it's really cool, heavy duty business. And they've got the most awesome 3D printer stuff. It's just insane over there.
I'm sure.
But anyway, so he goes traveling a lot to make sure that these jobs are going to where they're supposed to be, these installations or these whatevers. And just so happens, I think he's actually kind of lucky he didn't get like spotlighted as a possible threat. But it just so happens, everywhere the Pope went this week, because it was in the States for the first time since, I don't remember the last Pope that was here, a long time ago.
Yeah. Two Popes ago, I think.
Two Popes ago. I think it was John Paul the II, whatever he was. The guy that we grew up with.
Oh, really? That was the last one?
I think that was the last one. I could be wrong, but I don't think the German dude didn't come here at all.
No.
We are not going to the U.S.
I do not want to meet the president.
Last time I went there, they called me the Krauthead.
Everybody kept asking if I wore a silly hat. I don't get it.
So he traveled. So this weekend, he just happened to be traveling the exact same route. So every time the Pope was in Philadelphia, Steve was in Philadelphia. When he was in New York, Steve was in New York. And when he was in D.C., Steve was in D.C. Like this entire chain of like timing and events, Steve was always there when the Pope was there. And I thought, man, you're lucky the FBI didn't think you were some kind of weird mark, you know?
Right. Okay, Pope stalker.
But anyway, he never got to see the Pope. But man, did he ever experience the slowdown that the Pope causes?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oof. One man causes a lot of traffic problems. But he was describing
delays on phones too.
Yeah. And he was describing the security sounded insane. Like all the manhole covers and all of the like utility points of entry anywhere in the city of Philadelphia, New York, all these places, they would have RFID devices attached to manholes and stuff. So that if any of one of those things budged at all.
Really? Wow.
They just like swarm on. Like, I guess it was super, super intense security because nobody wants the Pope to die on your watch.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. The Pope comes to your country. You better hope that's where the Pope lives on.
You better hope he goes home in one piece.
Yeah. You hope the Pope doesn't do dope. All right. Anyway, so this is a story about him telling a family something. So the Pope, the Pope Francis, right there, he's the Popa. He told a family that drove 13,000 miles to see him, "You are crazy," he says.
Yeah, I think I'd tell him the same thing.
And a fitting and unexpected capstone to their 13,000-mile journey, the Argentinian family that drove a VW bus from their home in Buenos Aires to Philadelphia met and chatted with the Pope Francis. The Pope Francis. On Sunday at his request. So he asked for them to come up there. He got wind of it, said, have them come up here. The Walker family, four children, their parents, Knowles Zemborian and Alfredo Kateri Walker. What's the quote? Is that like her nickname?
I guess, yeah.
Well, Kateri.
Kateri, yeah. Kateri.
Kateri. Well, that'd be Italian, wouldn't it? They're from Argentina. Anyway, got a phone call at 6 a.m. Saturday asking them to go immediately to the St. Charles Borromeo. What's that?
Borromeo.
Thank you. Seminary. They recounted all this stuff on the family Facebook. "Imagine the uproar that this caused," she wrote. "We all ran from one place to another in complete chaos." Anyway, the Pope said they were crazy for driving that far.
Wow.
And I kind of agree. It's long.
Yeah, that's a long. I picture the video montage of them driving. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the VW microbus. You're like at your position in one place and you see the bus go by you on the highway and he goes, Pope.
And they started up.
It's a VW microbus, so it'll.
I was going to find the song because this is what I bet they played. You ready? This is what I think they played the whole time. Here we go. I think this is the song they were doing.
Holiday
Pope.
Hey, kids, we're going to Popey World.
We're going to Popey Land. Here we go. Oh, come on. Give us some singing. Give us some Lindsey Buckingham. Here we go. Oh, I love that song.
That's such a great song.
Really good. But it's forever associated.
Following the Pope.
All right.
right. not here anymore. Yeah. Big Pope outside should have told you.
I think the Pope peed on those sandwiches, Clark. Teen develops hepatitis after having green tea bought online for losing weight. This would be a cautionary tale to just not buy any old thing you see online, folks. Doctors have confirmed that a girl's attempt to lose her body weight by drinking green tea has left her severely ill with a range of health complications, including acute hepatitis. Is that Hep C? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Story's been published as part of a new case study in the BMJ, or the British Medical Journal. It's big Michael Jordan right there. and yet to be named patient visited her doctor with symptoms like nonspecific abdominal pains, joint pain, and nausea. Physicians described her or prescribed her antibiotics, assuming she was having the symptoms due to a minor infection. However, medications didn't show any result, and the teen had to come back to the emergency room, this time with worse symptoms, including jaundice.
Jeez.
Jaundice. That would be the name of someone if it wasn't a bad disease thing.
Jaundice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaundice.
Hi, my name is Jaundice Moorpark.
Moorpark. Jaundice Moorpark. Oh my gosh, that's great.
It's my new my movie character name now. Jaundice Moorpark. Hi, I'm Jaundice Moorpark.
Jaundice Moorpark, and I'll be your host today. 16-year-old girl informed the doctor she'd been drinking a particular brand of tea purchased online for losing body weight. Said the tea helped her lose just a couple of pounds. But since she has been experiencing some peculiar aches and joints and dizzy and sick and all this stuff, she was having to go through a bunch of tests. Anyway, it turns out she has hepatitis. So don't buy pills. You know what? Listen, hey, I know something that's true. Green tea, you can buy that at the store, Brian.
Yeah, but this is special lose weight green tea. Like, I've actually seen this at the, we have a place here in Colorado called the Pacific Ocean Marketplace, and it's a Chinese... Well, all Asian. Like, they've got a couple rows of Japanese, some Korean, some Chinese, and it's all like, you know, a octopus in a bag. And over here is ground up goat hoof powder mixed with ginger root or something like that. It's all stuff like that. And I know that I've seen this there, like the lose weight green tea.
Yeah. Ground up goat hoof powder was my reservation name when I was still living on the reservation. Green tea does. Okay. I found a thing to support or, you know, to get some info on this. Turns out green tea does help you lose weight. But according to doctors and various studies, you need to drink 7 decaf cups a day.
Per day.
Yeah. Per day. So.
Well, you know, that's going to help you lose weight. Just drinking that much water would help you lose weight because you'd be too full to eat a big meal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what they always tell you is like, oh, yeah, if you just drink a lot of water throughout the day, you won't have as much of an appetite. You won't eat as much.
Let me tell you how I lost 60 pounds.
Tell us.
Walking or running every day, eating less crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
All it takes.
That's your magic thing. It took about a year and a half, so you're going to have to wait. You can't do it by date night on Friday, but... Take your time. It's fine.
Yeah.
We don't even need Bill tomorrow. I just did a fitness geek right there. what else? Final story.
Local fitness geek.
Hotel Transylvania 2 has a box office record for its opening weekend this last weekend. Cartoons still bringing in the dough, I guess. The PG-rated animated pick earned a robust $47.5 million in its debut weekend, making it the top September opener of all time. According to Rentrack. My favorite Transformer was Rentrack.
Where do you want me to go, boss? Roll out.
And off goes Rentrack.
Rentrack, yeah. Rubber, like you had the rubber tracks, like the rubber tank treads.
Yep, he had a rubber.
I totally know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, he was great. The previous record holder was Hotel Transylvania 1, which opened to $42.5 million in 2012. there's a lot of stories about how Genndy Tartakovsky, who directed it, and he's your Samurai Jack, Dexter's Lab, much loved animator man.
Robert Smigel's involved. See, I mean, you know, that's
a pretty good
Adam Sandler.
It's a pretty good pedigree. However, there's a bunch of talk. There's a lot of internal strife going on with Tartakovsky and his projects, and he was not happy how Smigel and what's his name? Kind of muscled in with their ideas.
Sandler.
Yeah. And they took away the Popeye project from him, so he's super pissed about that.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, 81% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, 52% tomato meter from critics.
That doesn't seem great.
Not great, but audience score is super high, so.
Yeah. The Martians at
like 94.
You know,
it's a bunch of people taking their kids.
Martian's at 94. Steve Jobs is at like 92 or 3. Mm-hmm. Those look like a couple of big big winners, man.
Yeah.
What else?
Maze Runner, right in the middle, 50%.
I almost went to that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I almost got roped into it. I haven't even seen the first one, and I'm trying to think of a thing I care less about than the Maze Runner movies.
Right.
But I almost got roped into it because a neighbor was going, and they're like, you guys want to go to a movie? We're like, yeah, and I'm thinking it'd be something cool. No, it's the Maze Runner 2. I said, no, I don't want to go to that. I'm sure some people like that stuff. Look, I'm not poo-pooing your favorite book series or your movie or whatever. But you know what I think part of it is, Brian? It isn't that there's a movie called Maze Runner or that it's based on a popular young adult fiction series or any of that. I'm fine with that. I've read Harry Potter 5 times through. I know what's up.
Sure.
I honestly think my aversion to the Maze Runner franchise, period, is that it's about mazes, and I hate mazes.
Really?
I hate them. When you went in school, when your teacher would give you one of those maze sheets,
yeah,
and it would be just like a bunch of, like, you had to take your pencil and find the right way out.
Right, right.
Hate them. I hate them so bad. I don't even know what to compare them to. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, as a kid, I hated mazes. And I really don't like any reference to mazes. Like a hedge maze? F off. Yeah.
Really?
It almost ruined The Shining for me to have that kid running through a hedge maze.
Well, you know, it solved a problem for him, though. I mean, that's how he got away from Jack Nicholson.
And I can even remember, like, what's the one with the Muppets and David Bowie?
A Labyrinth.
A Labyrinth. That movie almost doesn't work for me because the whole thing's based on a labyrinth. Yeah, the whole thing's a maze.
Is it just the frustration of like, oh, I went all the way down this path and now it's wrong, so I have to go all the way back to the last little...
I think so. It's pointless because it's not like... Regular video game theory or game theory period is that I should be able to find a thing not just because I got lucky. Maybe it's why I don't like gambling either. Because it's just set up to make me fail. There's no like... Well, I don't know. Maybe if I go down this hall, I'll finally get it. There's no way to. Right. There's no intelligent way to navigate. You just have to trial and error, and I hate that.
If there's one thing that we can learn from Greek mythology and Daedalus and Icarus is that you, number one, you don't build wax wings and try and fly out of the maze.
Yeah,
but you put your left hand against the wall, and if you always keep your left hand against the wall, you will get out of the maze.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's all one, it's one piece.
You're right. You just walk along the wall until you get... That's a really good point, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe you'll like mazes now.
Yeah, I've turned around. I'm going to read the books.
If they did that in The Maze Runner, it would just be a one book.
Yeah.
One book thing.
At the end, that would be the big revelation. I can just put my hand on one side.
And then the second book, he forgets how to do it. I think my problem with that is just that there were so many of those that all seemed to come out at the same time. Hunger Games, Maze Runner. What was the one with Kate Winslet?
Oh, hey, what was that called?
It's like a one word.
I know it when you mean, though, but yes. Oh!
Yeah, I'm sure somebody in the chat room will let us know. But then there's the other one that came out that was with the people who are living in a black and white world, and then they could see color.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. We got diluted with that.
Divergent.
Thank you. Divergent. And the next one's called Detergent or something else.
I'm sure that's exactly what it's called. Yes.
It's dilithium. So what's the next one called? It's something like that. Divergent's the first one.
Right. But it's something that ends with urgent, right?
Yeah.
It's,
urgent.
Insurgent.
Insurgent. No. Insert Pleasantville. Yeah, that's it.
Revergent.
Revergent. Reservergent.
The Giver? Oh, that was The Giver. The black and white one was The Giver. Yes.
Comblurgent. Insurgent. Is that right? They're saying it's insurgent.
I guess it was insurgent. Okay.
I say detergent. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break to tell you about our friends at Harry's. Guess who's fixing our shaving problems? Harry's at harrys.com. Shaving with dull blades is no fun. Sometimes you cut yourself, scrape yourself. Dull blades are terrible. They suck. You draw blood. Nobody likes looking at you when you got blood all over your face. Razors are expensive. You have to get them out of that dumb glass thing in the store. It's a huge pain in the butt. That's where Harry's comes in. High quality razors at about half the price of big brand blades. They make them all in their factory in Germany, which means German engineering. Sharpness, high performance, no more dull blades that just blow. They'll ship them for free to your front doorstep. Absolutely free. They're a very efficient company because they cut out all the middlemen and they go straight to you. I got the Winston set, which I love, and it was brought straight to my door. Piece of cake. All this cool stuff came with it. Razor handle with a great look and feel through razor blades, a choice of either shaving cream or foaming shave gel. The Truman set, which is the starter set, is also an amazing deal. You can get all of that for just $15. I really like them a lot. I think Harry's is amazing. That's HARRYS.com. Enter the coupon code MORNINGSTREAM and get $5 off your first purchase with that code. That's MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at Harry's.com. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will have a chat with two people.
Cool. Stephen and Veronica.
Stephen and Veronica. It's their day. But before that, Brian brought music. We're going to play it now. What do you got?
Kyle wrote in, said, "Dear Buddy and Squeaker, I submit this request for the love." Oh, no, I'm sorry. Is that the right one? It is the right one. Yes. Okay. Right. "Dear Buddy and Squeaker, I submit this request for the love of my life, Stephanie. It's your 25th birthday. Stephanie, you changed my life in more ways than you will ever know. I will always love you. Hands Like Houses is a..." Oh, that's probably not part of his message. "Hands Like Houses is a great band from Australia and Stephanie's favorite band. We'll get to see them on tour in Wisconsin this fall with our other favorite band." Who he doesn't say. "Mulder and Scully will find the TMS conspiracy, though." Signed, Kyle.
Okay.
So his request is a cover of the song originally by Edna Swap, but most popularly covered by Natalie Imbruglia. It's a cover of the song "Torn." Here's "Hands Like Houses" from the 2014 Punk Goes 90s Volume 2.
Love it. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Hang in there.
"I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. I couldn't be the man that you adore. You don't seem to know, or seem to care, or what my heart is for. I don't know you anymore. Illusion never changed.
Yes, construction is his knack. He's sack, the Lego maniac. He builds in the window, he's off the wall. He builds them big, he builds them small. In Legoland, he'll rock and roll. He's Lego wild, out of control. Sack, sack, he's a Lego maniac. Sack, sack.
Legoland, King's Castle, Airport, Cosmic Fleet Voyager, sold separately from Lego Systems.
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee.
This is the Morning Stream.
That's Patrick Beja, by the way. That laugh.
That laugh is Patrick?
Yep.
I would not have been able to guess.
I know. It's from the instance over the weekend. Had a fantastic episode, by the way. It was a good one.
Cool.
Great discussion about, well, I don't want to give it away. It's good. People should listen to it. Theinstance.net. Go subscribe to that show if you haven't already. We're nearing 10 years of The Instance.
Wow.
Think of that.
10 years of The Instance.
10 freaking years. It's insane. All right, Patrick, let's bring in a guest. Let's bring in Steven.
Holy cow, I think my September 28th, 2004. Today, when you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder when my anniversary is. It's exactly today.
Oh, is it really? For Coverville?
Yeah, September 28th, 2004 was the very first episode of Coverville.
Holy crap. A, congratulations. And B, Thanks. Oops.
Yeah. 11 years.
Oh, man. That's incredible. 11?
You don't celebrate the 11-year one.
11 years, dude. Think of that. That's crazy. This Mr. Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Steven,
hello.
When do you hit? What's your anniversary for podcasting? It's got to be close to now, isn't it?
Which one?
Anything. When you started,
your
like
first,
when,
your the very first podcast. Oh.
Yeah, your first RSS feed.
Like sometime in the spring of 2005.
Okay, so that's about when I started too. So we were, well, officially as an RSS feed. Brian's got us all beat with RSS by. Were you hand doing RSS back then, Brian? Is that how it worked?
I was hand-doing RSS because there was nothing else that would do it.
Yeah, that was rough.
What
those a rough
pain
times.
In the butt, man.
Oh. Rough times then. I did the same thing. I manually, that sucked.
Yeah, and don't go listen to that first episode. It is shit.
Is it really? I want to hear it. I'm going to hear it now. How do I hear it?
Okay. It starts with music.
Coverville.
Just do a search for Google Coverville episode 1, and it'll take you right to that page. One.
Here we go. We're going to play this, guys.
Oh, this is horrible.
Just a taste of it. 11 years later, here's what you get.
I haven't even listened to this in like 7 or 8 years.
All right. Download and listen, it says. So I have to hit the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still up? I assume it is.
I assume so, yeah.
File not found.
Oh, good.
Oh,
all right.
No.
Thank goodness.
That's too bad.
Good.
No. We did. We tried, everyone.
Yep. Oh, well. Oh, darn.
Steven Schleicher.
Go buy the box set.
Is here from Major Spoilers. And Steven, it's always good to have you on, man. I hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you. It was a good weekend, yeah.
You looking forward to The Martian?
Oh, yes. We're going to go see it Thursday night and do a Zach on Film review of it for Friday morning.
That's wonderful because I don't know why. Well, whatever. I'm just excited about a new Ridley Scott movie. You could have just said Ridley Scott's making a new movie and I'd be excited. You could have said this cast is in a new movie and I'd be excited. But now that you've got all three of these rad things working together, including an amazing book and story, and by all accounts, they're staying really true to the sort of nerd science of the book.
Oh, yeah. Now I
That's
wonder
great news.
If there's some kind of a coincidence that NASA announced today that there's actually running water on Mars.
What? Right. It does seem like there's some timing thing going on, right? Like,
is that the news that there's
that
running,
the news, running water on Mars?
Totally
they found
shocked.
Plumbing. And,
sorry, spoiler.
And faucets. Yeah. The faucets are weird, though. It's like when you're in a hotel and you don't understand how it works. There's like 8 knobs and a little dial.
Yeah. Have it so point to like an H or a C, guys. Even Mars can't get this right. What's going on?
Blue, red, anything. Give me a symbol.
Give me something. Is this true, though? Mars and water? I mean, running water?
Saying.
Water. Hold on, dude. Oh, look at that. Evidence for liquid water on the planet. I'm looking. That looks like rivers and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, well.
Shouldn't come as a surprise, though. I mean, it's got polar caps,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. There's ice
that
caps.
That
yeah.
melt during the seasons.
That water has to go somewhere.
And then that little rover's been running through the mud for like 5 years or something, so.
I guess that's true. Well, let's get over there, then. Let's get our ass to Mars, as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say.
2 weeks.
All right.
Let's send like Bieber out there or something just to test and make sure things are okay.
So, all right. And could you see the Blood Moon yesterday, by the way?
Yes, were
you
it was awesome. Okay. I got my sons out of bed and took them outside. One of them thought it was awesome. The other one was scared that it meant that werewolves were going to attack.
So oh, no.
This is funny you bring that up because human beings are funny. I actually know a guy who was convinced that last night's Blood Moon was going to spell the end of humanity. And
there's
today,
a lot of people that believe that.
Yeah, we would have woken up today in ashes and filth.
Well.
Some people did.
More than we already had, I mean. But you know what I mean? Like, what is with people? Why do people have an apocalyptic mindset? Why do you want that?
From the ancient, like Mayans and stuff had to do sacrifices whenever there was an eclipse or something like that, right? I mean,
they thought they had to. But it turns out they never had to, the dumbasses. You know what I mean?
So obviously there's something in our nature that feels like the gods must be appeased.
I guess you see a moon and it's suddenly a little bit red because of atmospheric reflection or whatever, and you go, ooga booga, we're going to die. Freaking, it's so different than it was yesterday. That must mean something.
The moon causes, full moons cause tides, right?
Yeah.
And our body is 90 whatever percent water.
Yeah.
So it affects us. That's proven. Science.
I think,
science.
You know what I think? I think what happens to me is I get all of my apocalyptic tendencies out of my system by movies, books, and stuff of that genre because I love that stuff. And so all I need is like one Dark Tower book, and I'm good for the year. I don't need to feel like the world's ending the rest of the year. I got to experience it vicariously through fictional characters. Maybe that's why. Maybe Brian's right. Our natural nature is if something changes massively, we feel like we all have to scramble around and make sense of it.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, eh. It's a red moon.
Well, and it's taught by, or it's not taught behavior, but basically, so they'd see the eclipse, they'd kill a goat, and then the eclipse would go away, and they'd feel like they've been rewarded. Like, oh, see, it worked. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Ken from Chicago makes a good point. Significant percentage of humans are scared of change. Zoe says, aren't you the one who watches Mad Max? Yes, fifth time now. I'm on to my sixth soon. That movie's great, but that's my whole point. I enjoy that as fiction, but I'm not sitting around going, the moon!
Witness me!
Yeah, we're going to witness me. Shiny and chrome. All right. sorry, Steven, let's talk about some stuff. We have some winners for the Harvey Awards. Who won this thing?
There were a lot of big winners at the 2015 Harvey Awards that's given away each year Saturday night at the Baltimore Comic Con. Probably the two that a lot of people are interested in are the Best Writer, which went to Mark Waid for his Daredevil series over at Marvel Comics, and Best Artist went to Fiona Staples for her Saga work over at Image Comics.
Oh, well
deserved. You know, that's continually is great, and I would say that if people want to see Mark Waid and Fiona Staples together, they need to go check out the first three issues of the new Archie series from Archie Comics. It's fantastic.
Really? That's
I've talked about it before, it's
Saga meets Daredevil, you end up at Archie.
Yeah.
Just because it's being written by Mark Waid with art by Fiona Staples in those first three issues, and it's fantastic.
I've heard nothing but good about those so far.
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
I love her art so much, I don't even have words. She's so good.
Yeah. Saga won a lot of awards, popped up quite a bit in there. Best cover artist for Fiona Staples, best continuing or limited series went to Saga.
Yeah.
So it's really continues to be a great book.
Comic least for kids, Saga. That's a good one.
Yeah.
She's enormously talented.
Yes.
I love looking at her stuff. Also, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are making a Mighty Morphin return.
Yes,
I could not be more excited about this. I never said once in my life.
Some people are. You know, some people really are Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fans, and these are definitely the Power Rangers from the first American adaptation of that came out in, the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Boom Studios has acquired that license now. Paper Cuts, which is a smaller publisher, has had some Power Rangers stuff over the last couple of years, but this will be, as far as we know, an ongoing series. And they've hired Kyle Higgins, who's been writing Batman Eternal and Nightwing for DC Comics, to write that series for
Interesting.
Them.
But it's so... Hmm. And
they have the little silver mouths built into their masks, by the way.
Oh, hey, there was if you go back and look into the Gokaiger series, there's actually a group of Rangers that had hair built into their masks. It's
amazing.
Creepy as all hell.
Amazing.
Go look up Pink Power Ranger hair helmet.
Now, the one that showed in the U.S., that was a hybrid thing where they would film the kids
right.
out of their suits in speaking English and doing stuff here, but right. then that was intercut with all that Japanese footage, right?
Right, correct.
Do you know if this was is supposed to lead to another ones of another kind of series like that, or is this just an offshoot thing that's one?
And they still have Power Rangers American adaptations going on all the time.
Oh, do they? That's still a thing.
I don't know which one they're up to now, but it's still a thing.
Okay, all right. What was the guy's name that was like the big boss of everybody? He was like, Rangers, go out and destroy the thing and come back.
Shredder was his name.
He looked like Brian.
Shredder. He did look like Brian.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he totally did.
Bald guy, handsome as all get
somebody
out.
All right, chat room, your job is clear. Your mission is out. You need to go find that picture so we can all tell everybody it looks like Brian. All right, well, I guess if you're excited about that, then bye.
Well,
gum.
Some people are. I didn't say I was. I just said some people are.
It's on its way.
Yeah. Clarify.
It's a slow news week. The Comic-Con just finished.
Yeah, I was going to say. So did ours. Oh, that's something I got to mention here. So Salt Lake Comic-Con was this weekend. Same weekend record. As TwitchCon and a million other things. Oh, was there another record set? I didn't hear.
They set a cosplay record at Salt Lake Comic-Con.
A cosplay record? Mm-hmm. Wow. And no Bill Duran to be seen. He missed out.
He's too busy in Manila.
Yeah, well, I think he was originally planning on coming to this, but I think the Manila thing just wiped him out or something. But I didn't go at all this year. That's surprising because I've gone every year it's been here and I always enjoy myself, but something happened this week, probably because I just have so much going on. I have a million things happening right now and it just sounded like, you know what it's going to be, because I'm not doing a booth this year. Originally they were going to make me a guest and have me on some panels, and then that fell through because they ran out of money. We were going to do a film sack thing and then that didn't work out. So I'm thinking, well, they didn't invite me, first of all. Second of all, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go stand in a giant crowd. I'm going to see all the stuff I always see. And then I'm going to go home. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to skip this year. I'm just not going to go. Like Brian's Beer Fest thing. It's just like, meh, I'm not going to go. So I didn't go.
I would have gone to Beer Fest if I were in town.
Well, you would have,
the same thing.
I know. I feel a little bad because there were people who went.
You go for a new experience. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of the same similar stuff, but it's not going to be exactly the same.
I know, but it just, with so much happening around here, none of us, including my kids, were just like not motivated. We were just like, you know what? There's just too much happening. Carter had a million school things. Mm-hmm. Nick had a bunch of crap going on. Yeah. Kim was swamped. I was swamped. It was just like, yeah, when am I actually going to go?
Right.
There was nowhere. There was no time. So anyway, that happened. New York Comic Con is coming.
Coming up October 8th through the 11th at the Javits Center in New York City, though I want to say this, well, probably the third biggest Comic-Con in the United States now that Salt Lake City has taken over the number one spot and San Diego is number two.
How are we number one? There's no, are we really? We're not.
That's
really.
What you, that, talk to your promoter people. They're the ones that are claiming that they have the largest attendance over everybody, and that's what some people think prompted the whole San Diego, Salt Lake City Comic-Con kerfuffle, is because
fight,
Salt
yeah.
Lake was claiming that they were bigger.
Yeah,
San Diego didn't like it.
We're bigger in one. Okay, maybe we're bigger in foot traffic. It is Nerd Town USA here. All right, people are really into this stuff, so I kind of get that foot traffic. Yes, but we don't have. If you're counting big as big, like who's got the clout to bring Robert Downey Jr. up on stage and talk about his freaking light in the middle of his chest?
Right.
We don't.
Right. No, you know? They're talking about attendance.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is there's more measures than just attendance. Because that just means,
could be another one.
How hard would it be for me to breathe at this con? It's the hardest to breathe in Salt Lake City. Anyway, that's good for New Yorkers. That's always a fun thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a big show, especially for East Coast people that can't get out to West Coast shows. And if there's anyone who is going to that show and is taking a lot of pictures, please contact me because I'd like to show your pictures up on the Major Spoilers website.
Ooh.
So just reach out to me, podcast@majorspoilers.com or on Twitter @MajorSpoilers.
Seems like a great idea. That's a place to find all kinds of great stuff. Make sure you go check it out. Follow him on Twitter @MajorSpoilers, like you said. Mm-hmm. Steven, anything else going on?
Nope. If you like comic book goodness, Major Spoilers podcast, go check it out. Lots of fun.
It's a good show. It's been around for a long time. Deserves your ear time, everyone.
Thanks.
Steven, stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you next time.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See
ya. Bye. Bye now. Ba-ba-ba.
Ba-bye.
Ba-ba. All right. Veronica time.
Veronica. Veronica.
That's her name. Don't wear it out. Something about sausages or something. Feels like ages since we last had Veronica Ann Belmont, Destroyer of Worlds, on the show, and I don't like that, so now I'm happy to have her back. Veronica, hello.
Hello.
How are you? Good. Last we spoke, you were, what were you doing? Oh, you just got finished doing a big talkative thing, and...
Oh, right.
And now you're home a little bit settled. When's your next big thing? Is it BlizzCon, or what's your next thing?
I don't know. My next big thing is a vacation in December. Oh, that's what I'm looking for.
That sounds really good. Where are you going? Not that we want
Hawaii.
Oh, that sounds nice. That sounds really good.
I hear good things about that place. Yeah, I hear it's nice.
It's all right, yeah.
Yeah, Randy Jordan keeps telling me it's a nice place to visit. So
yeah. Oh, he keeps telling you. You're kidding. He really talks about Hawaii a lot. I never would have guessed that he talks about Hawaii a lot. That's shocking to me.
Tell you about the time I lived in Hawaii.
He's the most Hawaii dude I know.
He is very, for a guy who doesn't live there, he is basically living there. It's crazy.
He basically lives there in his mind.
His hands are almost permanently fixed in that thumb and pinky out, hang loose.
I know. It looks painful, but he seems to like it, so it's fine. V comes on the show on Mondays. We talk about the goings-on in the video game industry and video games at large, and it's always fun to do. What's going on this week? What's happening?
Well, I thought this was an interesting thought piece by Jason Schreier over on Kotaku.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, they were. So there's been discussion. Shuhei Yoshida at a Q&A was like unsure about whether or not that Sony would develop a Vita successor and continue that line. And he basically said to you know, kind of condense it, that mobile gaming is essentially killing Vita. That people don't really want to play on their Vitas anymore. They'd rather just play on mobile games.
Yeah.
But the author on the Kotaku piece set out a list of reasons about why the Vita actually has failed, and none of them include mobile gaming.
That's interesting.
Maybe we just want to talk on our talk on the phones on our Vitas.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Maybe. But his main case is that, well, Nintendo's been fine in the portable gaming market. They've continued to put out great games. Mm-hmm. And while Nintendo has been having their own issues, you know, the DS and the 3DS have done well for them and continue to do well for them. Mm-hmm. So what are the problems with the Vita? What's wrong with the Sony Vita that's breaking it? And it kind of starts the list with... for example, memory cards retailing for around $100 when the same size memory cards actually cost $18 if you get them on Amazon.
Sure.
You know, they haven't been putting out super high quality console level games. They keep putting out these spin-offs like Uncharted, Golden Abyss, Call of Duty Declassified, and Resistance Burning Skies. And then one of the things that's done really well for gamers has been kind of playing these classic titles, but Sony's made it very difficult for gamers to play those on the Vita. You have to do a silly shortcut, or it's not easy to find them in the store. So it's kind of, he's putting the blame back on Sony by saying, hey, other companies have done this well. You guys had every opportunity to cater to the gamers and to make this a successful device. And instead, you keep kind of making these really bad decisions about it.
No, I think it's squarely on Sony's shoulders, and it's maybe they're not in a place where they need to worry about it so much because the PS4 is strong and they, you know, they're doing what they need to do with their core business, and maybe they feel like they don't need to support it the way they used to. But it, you know, Nintendo doing well in the mobile space has more to do with Nintendo games being really, really good. And the Sony stuff has been okay, but there's nothing like on there that you just are must-have titles. But that you could say that about the 3DS. There are games you just can't get anywhere else that are amazing and are, you know, hallmarks of great gaming. And what does Sony have to say for that? Not really anything on the portable side. So it is their fault. And they do make it hard to get around and figure out what you need and where to get it and how to get a Plus game for free. And, like, it's complicated. And as much as I love Sony and I like what they've done console-wise... Maybe this is just us witnessing them going, well, we just let it do what it's doing and we don't really care and we just let it die in the vine. Because once again, a bit, but then to say that mobile isn't the reason, I mean, they have a point. Mobile is a huge disruptive factor in the industry, and Nintendo's feeling the same heat.
Think so, and I've maintained that throughout recent years, but this author doesn't seem to think that's the case. He says there's not a lot of overlap between people who are playing Candy Crush on their phones versus people who want to play more hardcore games on their Vita.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, maybe there's not, but I think in terms of you know, how much time you spend looking at a device, people are just looking at their phones more, and they don't want to carry around two devices. And if they can be entertained and interested by something on their cell phone, then maybe they don't feel like they need to bring their Vita with them everywhere they go.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about mind share.
Battery life sucks. Games are more expensive. Some of the same experiences are cheaper on mobile, sometimes
can't
free.
Can't just use an SD card you already have. Got to have the Sony Memory Stick Pro.
Exactly. All those things kind of fight against it and stop it from being the success it should be. And, you know, in the Nintendo case, you don't really want to carry that around either. But you're not necessarily carrying it around. You're just like, you know what? This new Zelda game came out. I'm going to spend $40 on it. I'm going to immerse myself in it for a couple of weeks. Sony doesn't have any titles where you think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel a little bad because I think it's a cool device, and it what it does do well, it does quite well, and I love analog sticks, and I'm a big fan of a lot of what that machine has been or does. I just think that I think Sony clearly doesn't care as much as we think they're supposed to care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad because it is a great device.
Yeah, and the 3DS still doesn't sell what it could sell. In the DS days, I mean, the 3DS, as well as it has done, it's nowhere near the DS days. And that's because now there's mobile. And so Nintendo putting out mobile games starting this fall, or I guess in a couple of months, we get our first Nintendo mobile game on phones. Mm-hmm. That's a huge shift as well. That's Nintendo finally admitting that mobile is something to be reckoned with. And so it's the whole, that whole portal gaming thing, we should all just quit pretending. Freaking mobile has destroyed it. And
yeah, it's definitely taken over.
Or
in a
forever
way.
Changed it one way or the other. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. I love me some portable gaming, and sadly most of that's happening on a phone now. So there you have it. V, what's got anything cool happening this week you want to mention? You're on DTNS today. That's a thing for sure.
DTNS today at 2 o'clock or 1:30 or whenever we go live. I always forget. And what day are you on? You're on
Wednesday.
Yep. So I'm also going to be on the co-optional podcast with Total Biscuit and those guys tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
For like 3 hours.
Holy shit.
Their show is really long. Yeah. It's like, what do you mean 3 hours?
That's a lot, dude. Wow.
Like, do I get a bathroom break? Can I go eat lunch? Like, what's the deal, guys?
I didn't realize they recorded that long. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that is going to happen tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, or 12 p.m. Pacific time, rather.
Well, that'll be lovely.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
All right, well, everyone check it out. Veronica on Twitter, of course. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
She called us bye, guys.
She did, yes. Put that on your bingo card, people.
And smoke it.
Roll that up in your bingo card and smoke it.
Thus endeth our broadcast day. Tomorrow, we'll have Bill and we'll have Jury.
Mm-hmm.
I made these prints for Jury for his
The contender thing. I saw that.
It turned out great, but some people are telling me there's a typo, and some people are telling me there isn't a typo. So I'm going to put it to the chat room real quick. This will only take me a second to pull
link
this
in
up.
There.
Let me just pull
where
up
are they
art.
Saying the typo is?
They're saying it's... So there's two usages of the word then. And what I did was... So the top header says, the contender. If not him, then who? If not now, then when? And people, some people are saying it should be, if not him, then who? If not now, then when? But I don't think that's right. I think I did it right.
They should both be that, T-H-A-N.
Oh. No, they should... Yeah, E-N, right?
Right.
That's what I did.
No, A-N. T-H... Wait. No, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. No, they should both be E-N.
Here, I'm putting it in the chat. You guys can all...
Yeah, because then you would use...
Then? Like, who, I like, know whom should maybe... Than. Maybe it should have been whom instead of who. But I don't... This is a blustery, full of hot air.
They both should be
politician.
T-H-E-N. So you did that is correct.
That's what I thought, but Jury's convinced it's wrong.
No.
And then Randy was sure it was wrong, but then he came back and said, nope, I was wrong. Scott,
yeah,
you had it
they're,
right.
They're both wrong if they think it's wrong. Then you would use if it was like a better than.
Right, better right? than this. Like my car is better than yours, not better than yours. Yes. But if I said, if not him, then who? It'd be then.
Right. Dice Tomato says you need whom and commas. Well,
yeah, but this is like a statement, though.
Not him, comma, then whom.
Yeah.
Well, okay, sure.
It's like saying it's going to be huge. Well, it shouldn't be gonna. You know what I mean? Like, I can get away with that because that's like a guy's motto.
Right.
But it's not.
But it's
like
funny. Like, you would use, and it is, it's funny because this is a comparison. It's him or who, now or when. But you would say better him than Trump, and you would use T-H-A-N.
Yeah, right. Because you're comparing two people instead of...
But this is not used as a comparison. This is used as a...
either or.
Right, exactly.
All right.
If not him, then who?
We did it. And whom is fine, except I think it's usable here. So I think it's fine. Hey, Justin, it's fine.
It's fine.
Get off of your problem. And we were laughing because they're already printed. And our thinking was, well, even if it is wrong... Mm-hmm. Then everyone, it's funny because it's a blustery, you know, politician man.
Right.
They say all kinds of things wrong. So, but now I think it's right. So it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah. All right. What else?
That's You're it. Fine. You're fine.
It's fine. We're done. Let's get out of here. Don't forget, there's ways to contact us here on the show. It's frogpants.com/TMS. Our email address, themorningstream@gmail.com. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail. We'll play some of those tomorrow. On Twitter, @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, @Scoverville. Scoverville? Coverville?
Scoverville.
Scoverville. And frogpants.reddit.com. Once again, a happy 11th birthday to Brian Ibbett's podcasting world.
Completely forgot.
It's amazing. That's I do this all the time. I forget anniversaries for my stuff, like the comic. When I hit 10 years, it should have been a big deal, and I completely spaced it. So, yeah, don't worry about it. That's it.
Celebrate by not listening to that unlinked episode.
Yeah, that no longer exists on the feed.
Right.
Brian, play me a tune now, please.
Okay. Nick.
Whoops, sorry.
A.K.A. Captain Monk, if he makes it into the tadpole, wrote in, said, "Hello, Scott and Brian. I've been listening to TMS for a while now after first learning of the show via Current Geek, which I discovered via Tom Merritt's DTNS. Needless to say, I was hooked since the first listen, and TMS is now the podcast that floods my ear holes while working out at the gym."
Great.
Anyway, write to you both to request a song dedicated to my grandma, who turned 100 this last Saturday. That's right, 100! My maternal side of the family will be converged on a small town in Iowa to celebrate this momentous occasion, and I thought it'd be cool to include the tadpole in the festivities. Hopefully, Brian will have an open request for Thursday or the following Monday. Yes, the following Monday. I don't have a specific song or artist, but I trust that Brian will find an appropriate cover of a big band hit or equivalent, as my grandma and grandpa used to go to the dance halls together. If not, a song about a ranch-flavored crispy chicken sandwich slathered in bacon will do.
Ah, damn it.
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
There you go.
Too early to get a chicken sandwich? happy birthday, Grandma. You've been a major influence on my life, and I'm sure the rest of the family will say the same. Pro tip, don't look for ideas on clever alternatives to Love the Show, Bro, with safe search off. Signed, Nick, a.k.a. Captain Monk.
Wayne, I want to do that.
No.
Love the ho, Joe. Let me just see what happens.
The show, Love the Show, Bro, is what he said don't search for.
Oh, bro, love the show. Oh, he means that actual phrase.
That actual
love
phrase.
Love the show, bro. Oh.
What'd you find? What'd you get?
Love me cat show with a naked man. Yep. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
He warned you.
He warned me. Didn't he warn me? He warned me. That chalk was forged by Lucifer himself. It's a Simpsons moment. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, so what we're going to play here is a cover of Glenn Miller's classic, which was originally done by Joe Garland. It's In the Mood, you know it. Some people might remember it as kids hearing a chicken version of the song. Mm. If maybe there is a tie-in to the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Okay.
It's sung by Les Paul, and there's a little bit of a spoken word intro that's kind of fun because this was actually recorded on Les Paul's 90th birthday. So there you go, a little bit of connection there too. 2005, Best of the Capitol Masters, 90th birthday edition for Les Paul and his pulverizer. This is In the Mood.
All right, well, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being here. See you guys then.
Hello there.
Oh, hi.
Well, I still have my guitar hanging around my neck, and my wife, Mary.
Hi. Also hanging around my neck.
And my invention, the Les Pulverizer, I have that on the floor.
Oh, no, you're not going to start fooling around with that thing again, are you?
Well, don't say it that way. That's our stock and trade, the Les Pulverizer.
Yes, but we've got to eat, you know. You better get a job.
Oh, well, just how do you propose that I should go out and get a job?
Well, look in the paper. Do something. How does anyone get a job?
Right now?
Well, certainly.
All right, you go get the paper, and I was going to play a tune here called "In the Mood." Now I want to try something here by beating on the strings. It sound like a drum, see, and get my foot going like this.
Say, you're really busy.
You get the beat going, and then we plug one guitar into the Les Pulverizer. Well, listen.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
This is out on the weather, Dick.